Welcome back, New You Maniacs, to the Spinner Rack here at Season 4 of the Marvel New Universe Comics Podcast, also known as the voice of the New Universe by us. We are your hosts.
Steven with Justice Number 21 and...
Andy with loud chewing noises in the background, probably. Thanksgiving leftovers as of filming time or recording time. The New Universe. In 1986, the New Universe launched as an imprint from Marvel Comics, dedicated to a more grounded, less fantastic approach to comics and world building. The original idea was the world outside your window, which shows up today in this comic, with real-time progress and greater realism. After the first year, some books were canceled, although we're seeing their characters in other places, especially Jenny Swenson's Spitfire. And the remaining books have gotten consistent creative teams. Hooray. Their origins were streamlined and they're becoming a bit more action oriented, especially as the New Universe becomes increasingly militarized in the wake of the world shaking disaster, The Pit. Also some rumblings of some kind of draft thing going down. With our podcast, you can follow along with us each week as we go through each comic in the order they hit the spinner rack. Or just check out individual comics if you already have a favorite. Season 4 Trivia Challenge now available on our website. And also, you know, follow us on Twitter or X at Kickers Inc. So you put Twitter on there and it tricked me.
Sorry.
It's old news, man. Old news.
Okay. I will change it to X right now. There you go.
X is here to stay.
It's probably.
Maybe. So this week we check in on our mystery man Justice, that is John Tenson, paranormal who wields the sword and shield of justice. He brings his black and white fight against evil to paranormals who misuse their powers. Or does he?
This week, Justice Number 21. Jailed in a federal prison, Justice begins to lose his grip on reality. Will the hallucinations he suffers from turn him into the ultimate killing machine? Written by Peter David, penciled by Lee Weeks.
What do you mean turn him into the ultimate killing machine, right? Isn't he already the ultimate killing
machine? He is the ultimate killing machine. I don't know where they're even get off suggesting that he isn't.
Maybe you could turn him back into the ultimate killing machine, maybe. Just minor other things to discuss. There's Universe News with inker Danny Bulinati on it. And unfortunately, we did get a letters page, though it was the wrong letters page, but we can talk about that in the end.
It turned out we maybe should have read something from Universe News last time when we started this month. The little pieces of newspapers and notebooks that we see sometimes this month has Justice tie-in. So just to start us off with that, Justice Killer Caught by Kelly Dolan. I don't know who that is. And then it's Dateline Butler, Pennsylvania. And they talk about local law enforcement apprehended a man believed to be the mass murderer known as the Justice Killer. At the Pit Aid concert. So that's a little shout out to last month's Justice Number 20, where he was in a battle with Seraph, a sort of vampire looking guy,
right?
Paranormal guy,
paranormal protector. And notably, Justice hasn't killed anybody in like the last two issues.
Yeah, his Justice is falling behind here. In the last issue, I'll just to quickly summarize, there was a Pit Aid concert. His Justice's daughter was there. He got in a fight with this protector of paranormals. There's a riot, a stampede, and trying to protect her, he ends up being captured by the police. Butler is not really where I would have expected that Pit Aid story to take place, although they said it's right outside of the Pit disaster zone. It's just to the north of here. It's just some small town.
Yeah. They're going for the Woodstock vibe, I guess.
Yeah, maybe. It's a question about I had in this issue was like, where is this? Which we can discuss later. So it starts off, I guess, with let's see, what Justice number 21 is cover dated July 1988, and we believe hit the stands April 5th, 1988. And the cover is, I think I was complaining about this when I got a promo of it last issue. It's this sort of conceptual cover with Justice kind of bound and on his knees. And there's a spectral figure of Lady Justice, I guess, behind him, sort of holding the scales and a sword to, I guess, you know, balance his deeds. And behind that is the White House and the Congressional building, which
Yeah.
it looks like he's being executed on the White House lawn.
It
It's,
does.
and I don't know, it's like I say, interesting conceptually, but it doesn't really give me, oh yeah, here's my big hero. He's all bound and gagged on, you know.
Yeah. It feels like it should mean something, but it doesn't really mean something. It's like a just an
Yeah, it
interesting
doesn't
image, and
resonate in a useful way.
yeah.
So we'll move on to let's see. Nothing written. So inside we have the creative team again, Peter David, writer, Lee Weeks, penciler, and Mike Gustovich, inker. And the inside front cover has the recap from the book, the including the last issue. We jump right into the story, and it's a small lawyer's office. I didn't think Canyon and Canyon. And we have a woman stomping around. I hate lawyers. I hate listening to them. I hate looking at them. And the only thing worse than that is being one. And another woman there is like, I take it you didn't make partner. They said I wasn't aggressive enough, not enough initiative, enough that I have no social life and spend every waking minute here, those slugs. Lawyers sometimes make it sound like they were in grad school. I'm history, Barb. If I don't make partners, their way of saying adios, muchachos. And she's com starts complaining that I can't help it if I never get the flashy cases that. And she picks up a newspaper. And she runs to the door. Amy, what'd you see in the paper? Nothing. Where are you going? Out.
That's stealthily a very 1980s kind of thing, like, yeah. Something surprises you in the newspaper. Wait,
Yeah,
breaking
you look at
news
your
has been
desk.
printed and delivered to us? What?
Madness. And it must have been quite an eye catcher, so we'll see where that goes. We turn the page, and this is really interesting stuff. There's like darkness and someone saying, Tenzin, oh my love, please don't be dead. Tenzin, open your eyes, return to me, return to your Endolina. Endo. Lena, he says, as perhaps Justice remembers that it was Endolana.
Oh, man.
Anyway, it's in we see Justice and the beautiful woman who is I guess the queen of the Springlands that he'd been fighting for before in those what we were told are delusions, illusions by a paranormal.
I've been
He
trying
was
to
in
peep the
this.
background to see if like Webstrel is watching them through a peephole or something. It's like, no such luck.
No such luck. It's this dark castle with some technological machinery. I think that's kind of a what they're going for. There's like a rug with like I'm guessing one of the hounds. But the woman is saying, yes, my love, my lord, Endolina, here to welcome you with open arms. This is Darkwell's castle, but I, what happened? And she tells him that the battle has been won. The forces of spring lay in ruin. It was our darkest hour, and then a magnificent battle. You, the last justice warrior, against unspeakable odds, and yet you slew the loathsome demon conquest, and shortly thereafter, his unholy father, Darkwool. Then we see like this giant purple thing that's still smoking. See, his corpse still smolders from your mighty blows. Still, the land of spring is destroyed, but we can rebuild. So what's wrong? And he's, Justice is kind of in his old costume, or it's kind of shredded, but he's down on his knees. I thought I had lost you forever. When I was unconscious, I dreamt I was an Earthman, that this world, my world, never really existed. How absurd. You're safe now, my love. You're home, and nothing will stop us from being happy forever. You are safe.
Yeah, how absurd.
Flip the page again, and we've got Justice in a prison cell in a straitjacket. Oh, and did you get the title of today's story?
It took me a while to find it. I was looking.
It took me a while to just figure out what that word was, and then to figure out that was probably the title.
Illusions.
It was sort of on the graffiti behind Justice in his prison cell.
Of course, the title could very much be "God loves you," or "I don't want to die."
I always enjoy graffiti in the new universe. So we have a couple of folks standing outside this cell, and one of them saying, "That's him, all right. That's Justice," in the old title font, which I always appreciate. Thanks for keeping him safe for me. I'm afraid I'm not reading you, Mr. Hanley. Well, I thought it was fairly legible. I am requesting that you turn Justice, a.k.a. John Tenson, over to me. That's what I thought you meant. You're joking, of course. The man's wanted in four other states. Not to mention assault and battery resisting arrest, and half a dozen other charges right here in Pennsylvania. And you think I'm just going to hand him over to the government, Mr. Hanley? I'm just a precinct captain. I couldn't if I wanted to. And I wouldn't if I could. When they said federal prison, he is actually in a local prison.
Rather big local prison.
Yeah, that's why it's like, if you were captured in Butler, I could see like, there's like a federal outpost in Erie, which is like on Lake Erie. But I'm kind of get the sense as I read this, this is probably meant to be Philadelphia.
Okay. And then Hanley, that's like his old Justice Department boss that we saw briefly.
Yeah, we only saw him a couple of times, but he was always like smoking a cigar. And he's smoking something here. Yeah. And he's kind of got a thin mustache. And he was Justice answered to when he was in the Department of Justice. Before he got paranormal powers, trapped in this dream dimension, blah, blah, blah. And this precinct captain is telling him, you know, pushing back against, you know, just releasing him to Department of Justice custody. He's like, "Captain Chaffin, that man is a government agent. Obviously, he's been the victim of some sort of mind-bending experiment, possibly at the hands of a foreign power. I don't care if he's the Secretary of State on a drinking binge. He broke the law and he's staying put. I don't care about the law. I'm with the Justice Department." I love that. Anyway, so we cut over to a suburban house with a bunch of cars parked around it. And there's a person leading a group discussion.
Let's call them a mob.
I don't know. I mean, they're mobbing right now. But my question was this the millennials from a couple of issues ago?
That's unclear. It kind of makes sense that they would be.
It was my thought, but yeah, it never quite says we're those same guys. But we have the person speaking is in a mask. And he's got actually a slightly justice-like lightning bolt shirt on under his trench coat. And we see he's speaking to several other people who are also in masks. And it's I'm pleased to see so many of you here. You know, of course, why I've called you together. The media is filled with the news of Justice's capture. Justice, our mentor and our inspiration. The cretins in charge must release him so that he can continue his holy work. But they won't listen to us unless we take measures. Extreme measures. To convince them. Are you with me? We're with you, Galt.
There's
He's
like
a.
five, six guys, and they look like, they just pulled some outfits out of their closet kind of stuff. Like they're not in like
It's.
coordinated uniform. It's like a ski mask and like, a hood kind of tied, a t-shirt tied over his head with the eye holes cut out kind of stuff.
Yeah, they didn't coordinate like the Black Powers. Galt, I'm guessing, is a reference to Ayn Rand. What's that? Not the Fountainhead. Atlas Shrugged, which suggests that this is meant to be a like, right wing extreme libertarian group of urban vigilantes in the suburbs.
Yeah, with a chalkboard.
With the chalkboard, I don't know. It's always like a little like this guy wants lower taxes and not to be filling out so many forms. He must be a madman.
Sounds about right.
Anyway, so we don't really. I mean, the only like problem being that it's unclear, like we say, if this is the same group we saw a couple of issues ago, who were a bunch of. I don't know, like a cult following a paranormal around and committing crimes on his behalf. But anyway, Galt, the leader, continues. Excellent. Now we have to choose a group name, one that'll show our link with our Lord Justice and also indicate our solidarity. And I know just the thing. He draws on the chalkboard. What's the matter, guys? Don't you like it? The suggested title is, of course, Justice League.
This sounds about right. It's like the League of Nations.
What could possibly go wrong with that? We cut back to the precinct. I don't like this at all. I'm a citizen. I've got rights. And someone tells her to sit tight. And we see there's a young woman in, not in a cell, but in like a holding room. Mr. Hanley, you're daddy's boss. You've got to make them let him go. So this is Angela, Angie Tenson, who's the daughter of John Tenson, aka Justice.
Clearly not going away anytime soon.
Got herself into another issue, I see. Okay. And we've got Hanley saying, "That's Tenson's daughter. What's she doing here? She was there when we arrested him. We tried to make her leave, so she bit one of my officers." So she would be in a cell too, then, I guess, but anyway,
Don't
she
know. If a guy bites an officer, yeah, a girl.
she's like a college student. I don't know. Are you corpus mentis or whatever they call them later? By the way, we're in this holding cell, and there's like a picture on the wall. I think in like police stations in federal places, it's like the attorney general or the governor or the something like that. But I can't really make it out. It
Charlie
looks a little
Brown.
cartoony, like Charlie Brown is
Yeah.
the governor of the state.
There might be an upgrade. I don't know who your governor is. So.
It was, I mean, at the time, I don't know. I can't remember. So Hanley asks her what happened, and she talks about I was at the Pitt Aid concert with a couple of friends. Everything was fine until he showed up. He being your father? No, he being the creepy guy with a big knife. I hadn't seen Dad yet. This is the Seraph character we saw last issue.
Right.
He
Why
and
would
Justice.
anyone try and arrest the guy with the scythe?
A lot of scythe killings around here, but I don't know why you're profiling me just because I carry a scythe also.
Right. I was trying to harvest my corn.
We're in Butler. Come on, man. It's farms all over the. Okay.
Zoned agricultural. I'm supposed to be able to carry this.
So she continues, but when the rest of the crowd spotted them, they panicked. Everyone was running around, stampeding, and I would have been trampled to death. My dad saw I was in trouble and he shielded me. Then, while he was distracted, the cops came and. Wait, Angie, I missed something. Shielded you? With what? His body? No, he sends shields out of his hand somehow, and the power bolt, too, like I mentioned. Hanley is not into this, and Chafin, the police captain, isn't either. Isn't that beautiful, Hanley? She was trying to give us the same incredible song and dance. Force bolts. I love it. You wouldn't love one if it was coming your way. I suggest you start reassessing what's credible these days, gentlemen. I don't know about you, but there's a whole new world outside my window. Dun dun dun.
Yay, reference.
Yay. We had a couple of these this issue. Who could it be? It is
No, he's in a lot of blue.
yeah, the colorist got a little carried away on the cyan here this month. The other guys brush back against, but it is Terrence Updike from the NSC that we had seen before, National. Well, see in a second. And they ask him, NSC, the cash register people? That's NCR. That is a real old reference. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. We're the National Security Council, and we're interested in all sorts of things. He doesn't look quite the what was I always saying? Oliver North caricature that we had in the last issue, but just sort of again one of two or three of these spook show guys that we have now in the new universe running around.
Yeah,
And
he
he's got a
recruited what's her name? Rewind, right? Last time?
right playback.
Playback, that is, yeah. I'm something
Miriam,
VCR related.
Miriam, yeah, the tiny woman from previous issue who could see back in time. But he is not hanging out with her in this issue. He has got a new grungy looking friend, as they say, and who proceeds to sneeze. Oh, my associate is Victor Pasco. We call him Kleenex. Even though that's a trademarked name and not a generic term, I can't
Yeah,
believe they
well,
would.
sue
I
me,
mean,
Kleenex.
there's no way you can use that as you can use that as your superhero name. I mean,
That sounds like a Puffs man talking. You could call someone
imagine.
Scotty, that wouldn't be trademarked, right? Scotty's tissues.
I guess. The thing is, yeah, I don't even, I don't know if any of those brands even existed back then or like it
Yeah.
was.
The funny thing is, more people probably, or I mean, way more people probably read these comics when this came out than they do now. But, like, now they'd probably be ultra careful about not using trademarks where the new universe uses Denny's and McDonald's and all the logos, left and right, no problem.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's just funny to me. I don't know. So whoever this guy is, Kleenex, because he's been sneezing. Chew! Bless you. Thank you. The Hanley and Updike and Chafin, I guess, are now arguing while this Kleenex guy goes around sniffing people's hands. So we would guess that he has paranormal powers, although we're not
No clue what they are.
no clue. Yeah, something that's of use to Updike. So the guys in charge are arguing, I want to know what your interest in Tenzin is, and the cops are like, what the hell is this guy doing as he goes around sniffing them? And Tenzin, let me think. Nope, name doesn't ring a bell. But Captain, why did you let your men let these two in anyway? Same reason we let you in. Fancy government ID. Kleenex goes over to Angie. Chew! Give him a tissue. Thank you.
But he had like the last panel where he's, stealthily saying thank you, like, he's got like the eyes, like he's giving the stink eye, like he's figured something out or like something's up, but we just have no clue what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's that like Angie's related to Tenzin, which we knew, or Angie's a paranormal, which seems like he's like, oh, who was it? Bloodhound who could smell paranormals or something?
Maybe this guy would be like allergic to paranormals.
Maybe. So then someone else, another cop comes in. Captain, Tenzin's lawyer is here and loaded for bear. What? She's not from the public defenders. She's with the law firm. Oh, great. Some ambulance chasers. That's just what I need. What else can go wrong? Smash cut to the vigilantes who have now gone through Justice League, Justice Society, Justice Inc., Justice Machine, Captain Justices, and Hooded Justices. This one's wrong too. Could be tougher than we thought.
Justice Machine, is that a comic book reference?
That was like an indie comic in the 80s. I want to say like Comico or First or something. It was like related to the Elementals, if you ever saw one of them.
I've seen the covers, that's about it.
Captain Justice, I don't, it doesn't ring a bell. And Hooded Justice, I just think from The Watchmen. But the obscure one, I would guess, is Justice Inc., which was a pulp hero, The Avenger. Yeah, back with the Shadow and Doc Savage and those things. You'll see a couple of revitalized versions of that in comics over the next few years. But anyway.
Yeah, it's interesting because they're setting these guys up to be kind of like goofballs, and yet, like it gets interesting.
Yeah, I mean, they are definitely here as comedic asides in this first few appearances on panel. We have the police captain goes through a brigade of reporters who are all, Captain, tell us about the justice killer. Did you arrange the justice killer yet? Did he blow up Pittsburgh on behalf of the Libyans? Here it took 20 officers to subdue the justice killer. He yells at them, tells them to clear out. And he gets to his office, and we have the lawyer from the first page. Now,
Don't
she's
think
a.
the news guys in the 80s talked like that.
Yeah, it's a. Okay, I'm doing it like the
That's a pretty
30s shtick.
solid accent. I'm with you, but it's a little like
It's.
30s, maybe.
Yeah, he's, but I don't know why, like. They let them sort of pool up outside his office, and so yeah, it's like he's trying to get into his office. He gets nothing but harassed. So he gets in there, and the female lawyer, and we get a thought balloon. Now she's a looker, must be the lawyer. So I got a flashback to our old buddy Ken with that one.
Yeah, nostalgic sigh.
Ah. Anyway, I'm Mr. Tenson's attorney, Captain, and who do you think you are? Torquemada, perhaps? Attila the Hun struck a chord? That's the only way I can explain what I understand to be your treatment of my client. She asks that, tell me the rumors aren't true, Captain, that you haven't hogtied my client and sedated him in total violation of his rights. Was he conscious when you Mirandized him? If you Mirandized him? She's saying, and I could get him, I should be able to get him kicked loose in no time. And I want to see my client. And he looks at her card. Look, Miss Wendell's, is it? I've had cops from four states warn me about your client. You wouldn't be heard rumors you wouldn't believe. Yes, he's sedated, and he's until he's out of my hair, he stays that way. By the way, you'll remember there was a female lawyer in an earlier iteration of justice. It was like Danielle Tosin or something.
Yeah, who was like maybe shadowy working for Darkwill, but we never had to follow up on it.
Yeah, this was not her.
No.
So we get then as the she continues, She's going to get a writ of habeas corpus. Habeas corpus. What am I thinking? Which is, make a charge or release my client, I believe. But
Yeah,
and
protection
she's.
against unlawful imprisonment.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Thank you. I
And
just
then
make up.
writs of mandamus was like to correct an abuse, I think, is the idea.
Okay.
Like that would be the sedating, I guess.
Yeah, it's I don't know if you can get released if you've were doing what he did, but there's definitely some extra legal treatment he's getting here. So you would think some lawyer looking out on your behalf might be able to get you at least a out of the straitjacket and whatever. So she's insisting on seeing him, and he's not having that. And he asks her, "What's your stake? Why are you here? Why'd you come?" "Because my car got stuck a month ago and he fixed it." So yeah, this was the woman from the beginning of issue 19? 19,
Yeah, he
where.
used his shield to like block her car, so it was like wasn't working properly, and then used that as a ruse to pretend like he fixed it and then get a free ride.
Right.
What a
So,
bum.
yeah, I mean, she's actually going out on his behalf, partly, I guess, for her own career, but also partly because she recognized someone who was helpful to her. And I mean, knowing that it's kind of just a grift that justice was pulling on her, I feel kind of less great about. Anyway, she storms out. "I'll be back with those writs, Captain. And when I do, I suggest you watch your back." Smash cut to the Springlands, and Justice and Endolina are walking around, and he's saying, "Endolina, I couldn't help but notice behind you the land is returning to life." And yeah, everywhere she steps, there is like flowers springing up. "You're
It's like, oh,
right, my
that
love."
always happens. Don't you remember that?
Yes. Well, but how is it possible? "How, Tenzin? Anything is possible. Don't doubt what your senses tell you. Don't you understand? It's a sign from the gods." "Yes, of course. What could it be? Everything is going to be fine.
Of course,
And
she's
we
also
can get."
like flying through the air. It's like, yeah, totally normal thing that we could always do.
"We
Not a
shall give the world
hallucination.
back its life." Yow! So Indolina is flash fried in flight.
Yeah.
Zap. And as she falls, and he calls out, we get more word balloons from the side. "Pathetic Justice Woya, you should never have lowered your guard. And it's Darkwool and Conquest. You murdering evil never dies, Tenzin, but we won't say the same for you." Indolina, with her last breath, "No, my love, no more killing. Not in my name. Let killing end. End with my."
Notably, she looks like a brick of charcoal at this point.
Just terrible. Yeah. "Oh, the killing will end, my queen, with the death of your beloved Tenzin." Just as he's got his game face back on. "Yes, Darkwool, it will end. Death or no, killing or no, there must be justice." And his hand is glowing. We cut back to the prison cell in the straitjacket, and "Justice must be justice." As he's, we see like a glow and then like a burn from around his shackles around one of his hands there.
I'm sure that wasn't like his brand new, like superheated kidney power or something.
Must
Channel energy through.
channel it through my kidneys, excrete it through my. Wait, what? Never mind.
Everyone knows it's the most justice organ of the body. It decides what lives and what gets peed out.
It's always like I gotta like focus this through my third eye. It's never I gotta focus this through my third kidney. I don't know why.
Right? I mean, that would be more useful.
We cut over to a TV reporter on the streets. Sex for sale, the topic on everybody's lips, and this top and the topic of this week's Roving Eye series. This is Jerry Rivers. This is Geraldo Rivera. In fact,
Yeah.
that's the like original name of Geraldo Rivera.
Is it? Okay.
So it's a more timely reference at the, back then. So yeah, going around bothering people. You may we are now going to talk to two actual ladies of the evening. And yeah, so he's a guy with like, you know, one cameraman and a microphone out on the street talking to a couple of hookers. Behind him, there's a movie
Marquee.
marquee. Yeah, thank you. That I can't quite make out what it is
It's
that's
like A
playing this.
Holy Terror and Jennifer.
Oh yeah, I was thinking it was The Holy Terror with Jennifer someone, but maybe Jennifer is the name of another movie.
Yeah, I didn't look those up.
I tried Holy Terror, but it didn't pop. But I was like, well, anyway. He is just talking to a couple of regular prostitutes. Tell me, ladies, how do you feel selling yourselves to a man, any man with enough cash? Actually, we also take plastic. Are you for real or what? So someone else jumps out of their car and comes over. Hey, you with the camera, get away from my girls. Chill out, Lenny. He's going to put us on TV. The heck he is. Who are you, clown? I'm Jerry Rivers, Channel 2 News, and you are ticked off. Throws the reporter against some trash. And he, you know, continues to make threats. Bother my girls again, I'll ram that mic down your throat. And just then we see I got a hot flash for you, newsman. Suddenly he is the one with a hot flash as he is consumed by flames. Whoosh.
This very much parallels what happened to Endelina, right? You know, she's given
It
a big
does.
speech and then gets roasted.
Does, which is weird. A pimp named Lenny is a stand-in for Tenzin's love, Endelina. Endolanda. I don't know. Swing the camera over. The prostitutes are taken aback while one of them tries to put out the fire. Lenny seems to still be alive, but they move the camera over to try to catch the guys who used a flamethrower on him, which is a bit much. And that person is talking. Today it's the pimps. But if our leader, Justice, is not released within 24 hours, we start frying everyone. The Justice Brigade is giving fair warning. 24 hours, or everyone goes. They stroll off.
Everyone?
Yes.
Jeez.
Jerry Rivers continues to bother the pimp who is maybe still alive. God, keep the tape rolling. Tell me, how do you feel?
Roasted guy, he's asking.
Yeah, the roasted guy. We cut back to like a diner across the street from the police precinct where Angie and Hanley are having a bite, and she's trying to they're trying to brainstorm how to get Justice out when Updike walks in with Kleenex. Pasco, I guess. Maybe I should just call him Pasco. I feel guilty calling him Kleenex. He walks in and sneezes immediately. Honey, they're not kicking your dad loose. He's a murderer. Oh, it's you. It's not true, Mr. Updike. He'd never. Hanley tells Updike to settle down because Updike is holding Angie by the arms, but Kleenex kind of holds him off, and the guy and Hanley is thinking to himself, his grip's like steel. What's with this guy? Kleenex of steel, okay.
Yeah, this guy is just strange, so
So is the, I guess, muscle
maybe
also
his
for
hands are
Updike?
just really strong from blowing his nose all the time.
Must channel strength to other hand to blow nose. Okay.
Every time he blows his nose, he gains 1% of his power.
He absorbs power from everyone that the mucus landed on. It's like Lenore's bioluminescence, except it's biomucus.
Ooh, that would be interesting.
Ah. Updike is so yeah, so Angie's like getting worked up, and Updike's like, take the blinders off, sweet stuff. He's killed at least 4 people that we know of. Now, the cops don't fully realize yet what he can do. If they did, he'd be dead by now. We have to move before they do realize. Get him to join us. But he won't do it willingly. You have to convince him. He has almost godlike power. We have to stop him. Help him. Otherwise, he'll be killed or just go on killing. Strangers, me, you, we'll all be notches on. No, I don't believe it. I don't believe any of you. For pity's sake, girl, stop living in a dream world.
Speaking of dream world.
We have a cop and I guess the prison doctor walking down the cell block, and the cop asks him, you worried our prize patient's going to wake up, doc, with the amount of drugs I pumped into his system? No, he'll be out for hours. It's because of the amount I wanted to check on him, make sure there's no problem. Boom! They're there just in time to see the cell carrying Tenzin explode out the door, at least. And Tenzin himself stumble out. Dark Will, tonight you die.
Can we nitpick that that's not quite how his hand beam usually works?
He says in a second here that he's just melting things instead of whatever his usual sword. So, but yeah, why is it like
exploding rather than just vaporizing? Didn't really bother me when I read it.
Becomes a little, I don't know, weird, even with our, experience of Tenzin, pulling powers out of his back pocket whenever he needs them. The next thing, like, the cop is shooting at him, and Tenzin's still thinking, what has he done to me? Hard to think. Not generating my sword, only intense heat. Can't focus my power. So instead of a shield or the sword, he has this just intense heat that is melting bullets that are being fired at him. So feels weird, but he continues, is this your doing, Darkwool? And yet, even when you have me at a disadvantage, you run. Run like the coward you are. So he's envisioning the Winterland guys all running in front of him. And he's pursuing. But we cut over to a police lineup. And I guess the cop who had just shot at him runs through this group. Run? He's yelling, run. And he's like, run? Run from what? There's this... it's more like the classic sword, this like huge energy ray that comes through the room and maybe doesn't fry anyone because one of them jumped like 2 heights out of his way. But Justice is saying that's better, much better. So
almost like a comedy version of that like scene in Terminator where like the Terminator's just rolling through the police station, like killing all the cops, but like he's sort of hallucinating and like just going through walls and running into weird funny scenes.
Yeah, that's, I was thinking of the Terminator myself. There's another one or two issue movies that I'll try to bring up at the end, but as it continues, he now blasts through the wall into like a locker room for the police. And he's still thinking about his Angelina dying. Wish that the killing end with her. Forgive me, my love. I cannot completely honor that request.
strange urinal placement in this locker room too. Like right next to the changing lockers. And how do you get the plumbing through the brick wall there? I don't know.
They had a lot of things to jam into one bird's eye view there, and he comes through the wall and he sees the guys changing in there, and now he's got his shields. He is still thinking about the evil Lord of Winter, but he's pushes off a couple of guys, throws a couple through the wall. He's pretty strong, remember, and he keeps talking about how he's going to kill everyone when he gets to Darkwool himself. The
He's like
as
holding
a
a cop over his head with one hand, too.
yeah, like I said, he's a pretty strong dude. I don't know. He went hand to hand with that savior in 19. I don't know what his limits are in terms of it's usually kind of more like martial arts or something. He's like not doing feats of strength, but I don't know. Perhaps he just sort of deflecting the guy in midair. I'm not quite sure because someone's flying around on the next panel that could be the same one he was holding over his head. He lets loose with a pretty strong sword blast that goes out of his sight, and he's narrating that he doesn't care what happens to it. Its point is of little interest to me. All that matters is vengeance, is justice. But we see that the sword blast has gone into like the armory where there's danger ammo, no smoking explosives, and set everything on fire. So
Yeah, that's
we cut
basically
back
like the
to
gunpowder room from Looney Tunes.
yes. We cut back to the outside Chafin's office. Captain busy, he's got some lawyer busting his chops. And she is back in there with the writs as promised. Produce my client right now. Rat Club boom. The huge sound of this explosion. And something must have blown the weapons room downstairs. It's coming through the wall. Justice is now blown into this sort of main room. It's justice. Someone's dying with an arg, but I'm not sure if that's justice or they just got shot by
Yeah, I think
stray
that was
bullet.
like the bullet deflection got that guy.
Yeah, someone's yelling, "She wasn't kidding. He's got some sort of shields. Stop shooting. The bullets are ricocheting. You'll kill each other. Use nightsticks, clubs, anything else." So, in a flashback to the end of last issue, when suddenly there's cops everywhere and they're all dogpiling on Justice. We have an interesting couple of panels with from behind Justice looking at these at least a half dozen police who are all with nightclubs coming to take him down physically. And he's saying, "Stay back, dogs. It's your filthy leaders I want." And the cops are saying, "Hear that, guys? We used to be pigs. Now we're dogs." And then we see the second panel is like from Justice's point of view, which is that they're all the hounds, or were they hellhounds?
I think just the hounds, yeah.
Just hounds that would serve Darkwool before. So that's what he's seen. And he just next page. It's a very dramatic shot of him with the sword hand just cutting loose, and he's "I'll waste no more time on you." And word balloon's a little kind of placed at the bottom, which makes it a little difficult to kind of see in sequence. But we've
Yeah.
got then a number of panels on the right. I hear shouts, screams for help, howls of agony. I pay them no mind. Only Darkwool matters. So yeah, it looks like he has fried like a dozen cops.
It's kind of hard to say though, because like you see people kind of flying out of the way. So like
Yeah.
whether or not anyone was actually killed or vaporized is very unclear.
So we switch back to the diner across the street where Angie, Updike, and Hanley were. So Updike is telling them, "Hear that noise from across the street, Sweepcakes? It means we're too late." We now have a nice outside of the precinct, and we see the third floor window blown out. Another explosion, blam blam blam. Oh, and it's right next to a Rolex store. Oh, that's a pretty nice neighborhood.
I guess, or it used to be. Well, Justice started Kool-Aid manning his way through all the walls of the police precinct.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Darkwill, Conquest, I know you're out there. I'll find you, and then there shall be a reckoning. And I'll level everything that stands between us.
Whoops.
He starts walking on his shields up into the sky. And down below, we see some cops shooting at him. Bullets just bouncing away. What's happening? What's happening? Down on the street, we see Updike still talking to Angie and saying that Hanley has run off to ask his boss for instructions. Daddy? Miss Tenson, Daddy just laid waste to a police station. Efficiently and mercilessly. Ready to cast aside the illusions yet? Captain, I don't know what to say. This is the lawyer talking to Chafin. Really, Ms. Wendells? I do. You wanted your precious client, counselor. Great. There he goes. Well, we just have to hope we can bring him back to you before he turns this city to rubble. And that's it. There's
Oh.
no end or next
Where's
time or
the
anything.
end on that one?
Next time, rubble. Welcome to Rubbleville.
That
Population U. I don't
would be a nice sequel to the pit, the rubble.
know. Paranormals went wild, but you know, just kind of for a weekend, not like crazy wild. Yeah, this is page 27. We did not get as far as backup material. It was just an extended main story this week.
Lest you forget the song. Well, let's talk about the issue first.
Okay. So they had a the next page fill some space with a song, The Streets, Where Did They Go? And it is a kind of a poem by Peter David. And as it says, sung to the streets of Laredo, but it looks to me, checking that out on YouTube, that it's possibly he meant there's this, another song, El Paso or something, something, West Texas, El Town of El Paso. Darn it. And I think that maybe matches the words a little better, but I wasn't going to try singing this, no matter how much Andy may. Oh,
in the
if it was
word
my week, I would have done it. Oh,
no.
okay.
I think in the words of the kids of today, it's pretty cringe.
It is cringe, yes. It's talking about sort of a character walking, seeing that Pittsburgh is gone. And then he sort of runs into a character who is obviously Justice. He his hair was all white and he looked like a grape. I see by your aura that you're paranormal. And so he's asking him what his power is, and the songwriter is saying that his he can make people vote or something.
I don't know. Let's put it out there for people to find. It's bad.
We will post it on our Twitter, our X channel here. He looked at me long and he looked at me quiet. He said, "That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It's such a lame concept. I guess I will buy it. When it comes to lame concept, we've got the last word." Then he turned away and let out a sigh. "Force of habit," he said in a soft voice and laughed. "Eat Star Brand for breakfast. And oh, one more thing, guy. Close tightly your windows. There might be a draft." So it's, yeah, I will just leave it to you, the listener, to find on our
Well, anyway,
site.
Justice Issue 21 was pretty interesting.
And as we say, the mail page was for DP 721. So. Yeah, Justice 21.
I kind of like this issue. This was a little mixed. I think the having like a whole bunch of people all coming together, like, all right, so Justice is finally captured, and like, who wants him, right? Like the lawyers maybe trying to rescue him, his daughter is trying to get him out of jail, his former boss from the Justice Department, you know, the guy from the NSC wants him to work for him. You know, the Justice Brigade wants to rescue him and kind of, you know, carry on his mission. You know, the press wants him, you know. So everybody's coming at him at all sides. And then, oh, okay, well, he's all hopped up on way too many drugs and you know, loses it. And you just see how dangerous he is and how like none of these groups can really handle him in that case. Mixed in with a bit of goofball stuff, which is like sometimes hit lands, and I think sometimes doesn't. But overall, it was kind of fun.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Although, as you say, it has sort of, if we think the series overall has kind of ups and downs, it's like all up and down within the same book, the same
Yeah.
issue. It's like from page to page. Like, this is, how's it going? I mean, this is something I would have liked to have seen sort of earlier in the series of this sort of back and forth, like, wait, which one of these is really happening and which one's his dream kind of thing that
Yeah.
you know, you can imagine now in retrospect, under Darkwool's influence. This, I mean, so you, yeah, that you can imagine one of the previous issues, sort of a simple, like it looking like this to an outsider, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, it was fun to
Justice.
have the Winterlands, Springlands back, even in a hallucinatory fashion. It was,
That's true too. I always kind of it kind of adds something to Justice's character that he's like this pure soul from this better world. You know what I mean? He's sort
yeah.
of sullied himself getting stuck here.
He's
So
definitely
yeah,
lost the old school justice, like black and white thing, though. Like, there's good, there's bad, and I judge it, right? Here, he's a lot more angry, vengeful, like, you know, punishment
It's,
kind of justice guy. He's more punisher than what than he used to be.
yeah, it's definitely, I mean, I keep asking myself if they're, I mean, it was like, well, okay, I don't know, I got like a couple of things there, but the issue where he was bitten by a snake and was hallucinating, that's what I'll say to my dying day. That was also a case where, like, he couldn't see auras. And in this one, he doesn't look for auras at all.
Right.
And so he's just kind of assumes everyone that he's in the Winterland and everyone is killable. So, yeah, that's definitely not the usual justice. This whole, like, moral dimension to this that, like, I mean, you see how characters go through hoops to avoid killing in most of the mainline Marvel or DC books. And, you know, I mean, even though they're kind of brutal cops, it's hard to like have like your, you know, hero character be someone who just torched a half dozen police
Yeah.
officers. I mean, a couple of years later, you would get in, you know, there was like a cop killer song, and then it was like police unions were pushing back against that pretty hard for, I think, largely understandable reasons. But the so it's like, okay, Starbrand bad, Justice possibly bad. What's going on here? Angie's still hanging around. Updike's back. Yeah, that's fine. I mean, let's see where this is going. This guy, another paranormal probably that is hanging out with him. Yeah, I mean, it's just my notes for this are just like back and forth, like cutting scenes on like constantly,
Yeah.
which is possibly why
I gave up and just write the names down so I can have them at the ready as needed. Yeah.
it... Okay. So, and yeah, I honestly would have liked to have seen that mystery lawyer from before show up again, but okay. Yeah, it's kind of like dark new universe. Now half the heroes are villains. It's a whole where Pittsburgh used to be. Yeah, and the reference to the John Galt or probably is, like I say, a little silly. It's not
Yeah,
as
I wouldn't
silly
have
as
picked up on it, so
the Streets of Laredo, yeah, but
not as silly as the streets of Laredo,
that
unfortunately.
is crazy. Yeah, so I mean it never really says which city. So I'm thinking it's Philadelphia again, because that's where several of these characters had kind of met up before. And the again, from I think going back to our Merc days, this is a place that Peter David knows or something, and
Yeah.
this the memories of that neighborhood getting bombed by the police is feels like it's still fresh in people's mind at the time. There's like kind of a unhappy vibe with the with them.
Yeah, Cyforce always likes to give us some good landmarks, but we didn't really get that here. So, and then the DC stuff on the cover kind of confuses it, but
Yeah, I guess
probably
that's,
not DC.
yeah. Although, you know,
Well,
it's not
DC, I
that far
mean like
away. So
Washington,
if
DC.
he wants to just start torching DC, anyway, sorry.
You just have a problem earlier about like the killing of regular people and police officers.
Talking about regular human beings, not federal employees. Come on. It's a big difference there. Okay, so I don't know. Grade, I gotta admit, like I said, I really enjoyed most of it, and I feel a little generous, but I'll go A minus on it.
Okay. I was thinking straight B. I think it was a little bit of an uptick from where I had been feeling about the direction of the comic in general, which I was starting to sweat a little bit. But yeah, this one was fun. Mostly, I was very happy to have the hallucinatory winter springlands kind of stuff still there. Like it's not just an ignored part of the story. Like, whoop, no, forget that stuff. So,
Yeah, the I don't know, there's the story about the guy who wakes up and he doesn't know if, you know, he was dreaming he was a butterfly, and now he doesn't know if he's a butterfly dreaming he's a man or something. I always thought that was an interesting aspect to the justice story. And yeah, I don't know, it is like we probably discussed before. It feels like, you know, even if spring and winter are locked in war, that like at some point, you know, it would re come back to life or something. So sort of seeing that played out a little is
yeah,
nice. I don't
I
know.
think it's just like the balance between serious stuff, hallucination, you know, moving the story forward, and like the comedic bits, like just didn't quite mesh for me, but
I'm almost also going to say that, like, it's because it leaves you hanging so much that a lot of this whole how happy we are long term is going to be in the payoff. And I'm
yeah,
not
this
sure where
definitely
that's.
feels like the first half of a complete tale.
So I'm a little worried, honestly, about where it'll all land. And so if I'm generous with the part I do enjoy, then okay.
Yeah.
So, I want to take a look back at some of our additional matter.
Additional matter?
I don't know.
I will say in the next issue thing where they show you the cover, it's like him around the corner, Justice on the street around the corner from like some weird, horrible mutation thing. And this cover always bothered me because I'm like, what in the world is going on here? But it actually kind of makes sense now. But missing from this on the actual cover, the mutated monster is saying like daddy, daddy, something or other. So I'm guessing he's still hallucinating, and that's what's going on in this one.
It's
So
a little easier to parse this as, his continuing drug-induced hallucinations. I don't know quite like the like I said, morality of sort of around this of like, well, they did shoot him full of drugs. Sort of blows up in everyone's face there, but yeah, so we'll see something next issue of him still hallucinating and hopefully not killing his daughter, which be a little dark even for Justice. Paranor Male, I guess we'll save for the DP7 issue.
Since it is in fact DP7 paranormal.
We have a, although it does say,
Maybe it's our
no.
new assistant editor's first mess up. This would never happen under the Spaldo regime.
David Wool, I don't know what you're. Yeah, again, a blurb for the draft, which we are going to assume comes out at the same time as Starbrand, and so we will cover it after Starbrand 14 in a couple weeks. Be on sale this month. And a profile on Danny Bulinotti, who has been the inker on TP7 for a while. Marvel freelance credits, actually, he's been doing a lot of things, but they're all sort of
Micronauts, Daredevil, Savage Sword, Dazzler, Indiana Jones, Moon Knight. Yeah, quite a bit.
all over the place. So at the moment, he's on Masters of the Universe and DB7, which is a weird couple. He is Filipino. My place of birth is Manila, Philippines. So I don't know that he says much about. He was a comic fan, a reader when he was young.
Yeah, his profile is nice because it's not just all jokes. Like if you're looking back on these things like 30 years later, it's kind of nice to actually learn something about the person.
Last good book I read was The Bible. All right. It's a
But then he says last good movie I saw was Masters of the Universe, which was pretty universally a bad movie, even especially if you like the He-Man stuff.
Well, maybe his taste is runs to the flashy. I don't know. It isn't a great movie, I'll tell you that. Several famous artists that are influences: Frank Frazetta, Neil Adams, Ken Bald, I don't know, Alex Raymond, old comic strip artist, and John Buscema.
Okay.
And he wants to beat the deadline. So
Don't we all?
he is a yeah, nice, fair plays it fairly straight, and we get a nice little peep into the life of a young comic worker. More, behind the scenes, as inkers are always are. So
Yeah,
nice.
there's a little blurb about the Pit having been consistently selling out in comic specialty stores. I like calling a comic store a comic specialty store. It's a lookout for the draft, which should be on sale even as we speak. Keep an eye peeled for it. Just like the Pit, it was going to irrevocably affect the future of the new you, right? Which is a pretty short turnaround for irrevocably affecting things, but.
That is, I would have thought a good 6 months or so, but this is like quarterly. Yeah, Pitt was like issue 18s, and so we're going to put this to out at the end of the 21s. So that's just 3 months.
Clearly, we're not thinking ahead of our podcast and the artificial lines we use to denote seasons. So.
Yeah, we're we'll have to play it a little by ear this season, folks. But the draft, it has been a long time since I looked at the draft. Have you ever seen it?
I've never read the draft. It's been sitting on my shelf for a while now, just sitting there.
Okay, so we'll as I say, get to it soon, and so we're gonna bust through the next couple of regular issues to bring it to you.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be interesting.
Yeah, I have a
I feel like it's got to
big.
be at least more exciting than the pit was, which I found to be a little dull, but.
I have sort of, some memories of it, which now I have more questions about it now that we've been sort of delving deep into the new universe, and like, I'll have yeah, we'll see what it brings to us.
If it doesn't have the witness in it, I'll consider that a win.
He's there every time a guy is snatched off the street and pressed into service into the U U.S. Army.
Then bonus points for any kickers that show up.
All
We'll
right.
see. All
Place your
right.
bets now.
Is about it for this episode. All right. Next time the new universe checks in on our displaced paranormals in DP7 number 21.
DP7 number 21. DP7 are prisoners of the army, and the paranormals in the clinic are about to wage war against a posse of state troopers. Will the clinic survive? And where are the DD teens? Plus a six-page featurette which reveals whatever happened to Kickers Inc.
Woo!
Woo!
Don't disappoint me, whoever wrote that backup story.
Siege is written by Mark Gruenwald, penciled by Paul Ryan, and inked by Danny Bulinotti. Yeah, I gotta admit, this one has been I've been a little worried about since we got the cover preview last month. Death of the Clinic.
Will the clinic survive? Find out while reading Death of the Clinic.
Look, you
It's keeping me in suspense.
okay.
And apparently everybody gets drafted, so I'm sure the clinic will be alive and well.
I just don't want like this wasteland of dead paranormals in Wisconsin, and then like, hey guys, it's the Kickers, they're back. Hey!
Did you
Tonal
see that
shift.
Simpsons episode where Homer gets the trampoline and all the kids are on it, and like by the end everybody's injured and they pan across the yard and everybody's like, oh, that's what I imagine next episode, next issue of DP7. We'll see. Something for posting on X maybe. But yeah, in the meantime, find us at kickersinc.com, email us at newuniversepodcast@gmail.com. This has been the voice of the new universe, and we'll see you back at the spinner rack.
Your universe, idiot.
It was only supposed to make a buzzing noise.
Chomp the chump.
I don't care about the law. I'm with the Justice Department. That's a good line.